Dear redeemed in Christ, we hear the word of God about our Savior in Luke 9. When the time had come for him to be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?" But he turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." So far, God's words. Athletic events in this gym can become somewhat intense, to watch at least, perhaps also to play, when the Lancers have to struggle in an up-and-down kind of game. Face the tenacity of a determined opponent, or the conflict of questionable calls from the ref. When the game is over, however, win or lose, we should go back to the routine of our daily lives, knowing that it's just a game. It's just a game, we say. The outcome never rises to the seriousness of the level of something, life or death. Let's imagine it, all of us as spectators on the sideline who watch a crucial confrontation unfold where the outcome really is a matter of life or death for all people. In this season of Lent, we are spectators and fans of Jesus who follow him from a distance as he goes the way of the cross, his march to victory. There's a powerful motive behind that march, as displayed in the text of Luke 9. We can't help but see the Savior's loving determination to face the cross for us and for all. It may be hard to do, but I want you to try. Put yourself in the position of the Savior for one moment. If you knew beforehand that you would die this horrible death in this place, this particular location, and only there, would you go to that place? Or would you stay away to stay alive? Then again, you're not the one commissioned by God to be the sacrifice for the world. God sent his Son to do that. Only Jesus, by himself, with no support group, would face that cross voluntarily. Even as he said in the Gospel of John, referring to the control he had over his own life, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." That being true, we should not think of the Savior as some kind of robot person who mechanically plows through every roadblock in some sort of detached way. As true man, he had a working central nervous system. He felt real pain and anguish. As we say in the Apostles' Creed, he suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. His agony on the cross was horrible. And something that you don't have to face, because he took that in our place. He took it all. in a steadfast loyalty to his Father's will and in perfect love for us and for all. It's a truth to be applied equally, right? Not just to ourselves, but also to others. We know that. Unfortunately, we have our own way of acting like James and John. On his way to Jerusalem, Jesus apparently was going to stay one night in that Samaritan village and move on the next day with Jerusalem on his mind and his destination. This upset the local people who would not receive him. They denied him hospitality, apparently. So James and John, right then and there, wanted to call down the judgment of God. The Savior had to show them how wrong their thinking was. You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. I think of John when I ask, how could a future apostle, a future writer of 5 New Testament books, act like that? Well, John and his brother had the same kind of sinful nature that we have, which wants revenge and hopes that certain people get what's coming to them. We have our own version of this. For example, do we privately hope that certain people receive God's judgment because, in our estimation, their sins are despicable? Do we write them off as not worth our time reaching out to them? If we harbor that kind of attitude, and we do in our own way, we forget at least 2 things. We forget that whatever judgment we think that group deserves, we deserve the same, because our sins are just as wrong. We also forget that Jesus treats people according to grace, evenly, equally applied. Undeserved love and his steadfast commitment to every type of sinner. So in this march, as we see it go the route of the cross, let's be more than spectators. We can make it personal with a double realization. We remember that our sins too are the cause of his suffering as much as anyone else's. And we also remember that our salvation wrapped up in God's forgiveness is made certain by his holy blood and the innocent suffering of him, our Savior, who is so loving, so determined, so victorious, and so worthy of our constant praise and adoration. Amen. Join me in singing that praise to Jesus, turning to hymn 798, stanzas 3 and 4, stanzas 3 and 4 of hymn 798.